You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Aotearoa New Zealand's Active Investor Plus visa, commonly known as the Golden Visa, was changed on April 1st to make it easier for foreign investors to invest in the country. Dr. Brent Burmester, Senior Lecturer at the University of Auckland's Department of Management and International Business, opposes the changes and says that the newly revised visa misses the mark. I spoke with Dr. Burmester to find out why he believes this and which suggestions he has in order to improve it. Firstly, tell us about the recent changes to the Active Investor Plus visa, commonly known as the Golden Visa, and why you think the coalition government has, in your words, missed the mark.
The government's recent changes, or announced changes, for the Active Investor Plus visa really go towards making it easier, making it more attractive for would-be investor migrants to come to New Zealand. They've got two different pathways. One is they call the growth category, the other one they call the balance category. Both of them require an investment of some millions, one 5 million for the growth option, 10 million for the balance. And the idea there is basically to make it just a bit more attractive and simple for investors or to qualify for residency here in New Zealand. And as to why I think it's missing the mark, really, that's to do with the fact that in New Zealand, we have had, under the Labor government, we had the Active Investor Plus visa, which was much more stringent in terms of what it required from investors. The idea was to really try and attract people to come here and live here and really actively engage in the management of assets here, particularly trying to run their own businesses or either alone or in collaboration with Kiwi business owners. It was really trying to foster sort of genuine entrepreneurship here, which would create sort of meaningful productivity gains and growth in the long term. But I think what these particular changes are more about is just trying to, in the short run, increase a flow of fairly dumb capital into New Zealand, which is to say it's just money coming in which will stay here for a relatively short period of time and then flow out again, without any kind of lasting benefits. So I think that's, you know, where my criticism lies.
And this previous research you mentioned, which has failed to find economic justification for these golden visas, what exactly were their findings?
This research was done in Europe, in the European context. A lot of European countries have what's known as a golden visa. Basically, it's residency for sale. So you buy your way into the country. They're not all the same. They have different parameters, but basically the research looked at the long-term benefits or the long-term impacts of offering these kinds of pathways to residency, and found that there wasn't really much to be shown for them in terms of their positive economic impacts. And in some cases, you know, the impacts were strongly negative, because in some cases, migrant investors are allowed to buy residential properties and it was overheating housing markets and causing all kinds of troubles. Another problem with them, of course, is this is a really easy way to launder money. And I'm not suggesting that people taking advantage of the Active Investor Plus visa are sourcing their money from criminal enterprise. That's not necessarily the case, but it could be the case. And it could be the case that their money is coming from a lot of sources which are not evidence of, or not the product of, ingenuity or business acumen. So there are all kinds of ways you can get hold of that money. And because a lot of that money is now going to come under the new rules, it's going to be relatively passive forms of investment. It's just going to come here, sit here, and then probably just leak out again without any real lasting benefit. So in the short run, it will increase the pool of capital potentially available for people trying to start a business or boost a particular business here. But in the end, it's money that New Zealand effectively owes the rest of the world, and that money will need to be repaid in one form or another, and whether there will be any kind of lasting gain to the country, it's hard to say.
How has money laundering led to the cancellation of similar programs overseas exactly?
People were just parking money in jurisdictions in order to, because it is the proceeds of crime, because it's acquired illicitly. That money is clearly not useful to us because it's not coming with expertise or technologies or proprietary assets. It's just coming here, it's being, if you like, squirreled away. Then what makes it worse, or what exacerbates the problem, is that you're granting a bolt hole or a kind of a refuge to the people who have earned this money illicitly. So they park their money here and then they personally can come here to hide from the liability they might follow from having that as criminal proceeds. Again, to the extent that that's a problem in New Zealand, it's hard to say. some of the money coming here, particularly under, I think, the new rules, I think there's a much greater likelihood that it could be money earned through by illicit means. But again, we don't have any statistics to suggest to what extent that is the case.
You say in your article for Newsroom, wealthy migrants aren't necessarily entrepreneurial migrants. Can you elaborate on why you say this?
Yeah, well, it's really down to the fact that it's not particularly hard. The sums involved, $5 or $10 million, I mean, yep, I guess to the listeners of BFN, that probably sounds like a big chunk of change, but it's not a huge amount. For example, as I make the point in that article, the number of people here in New Zealand who could raise those funds simply by liquidating their real estate assets, landowners, landlords who have a number of rental properties, they could sell those, they could raise those funds. Now, again, this is not a criminal enterprise. There's nothing illegal about this. But people who are earning their money as what we call rentiers, that is to say, they're people who just sort of sit and let the money flow in because of the assets that they possess. These are not the people we're looking for. These are not people with entrepreneurial spirit. They're not people who are desperate to prove themselves. They're not full of a drive to really make their mark in terms of industry of choice. I think there's a real danger that the kind of money that the changes to this visa will attract is likely to be of that kind. It's not. There's no necessary connection between people having those kinds of sums and that money being generated through them being brilliant business people. The way the visa's designed, we don't test for that. We don't really have any sense of how they've generated that income. We just know that they have it. Where it came from, how they came into possession of that money is not something we inquire into too deeply, which is to say that we make an effort, the good people in immigration make an effort to find out whether or not it was earned legitimately, but there's only so much they can do in that respect. You know, if you've got the receipts, or seem to, yeah, you're eligible.
What suggestions do you have about the visa rubric assessing an applicant's entrepreneurial potential?
Well, again, this is really difficult. I think probably my conclusion would be that introducing a visa like this that sincerely attempts to figure out whether somebody has what it takes to really sort of make a breakthrough in business here in New Zealand, or whether or not they have something that will enable them to do things that local investors couldn't, I think that's really very difficult for any government to attempt. Governments have a really bad track record at figuring out where the next big thing is going to be. In economic parlance, we call it picking winners, and governments aren't good at picking winners. So I think in many ways, an investment visa like this may be well-intentioned, but I really don't think that they can do more than pull in a sort of a short-term boost to finances, which, again, it may or may not have any kind of lasting benefit for the country. I would argue that there are better ways to guarantee that our migrants are making a positive contribution to the economy. And that's really looking for talent and working through fostering the immigration of people with proven skills and qualifications, and not really looking at how they've, you know, proven themselves in markets abroad, because if they're excellent in markets abroad, then that's where they'll probably continue to be excellent, and they're not going to bring that excellence here. We can't incentivize that. What we want is people who have got strong qualifications, whether it's in medicine or engineering or whatever it might be. And they come from countries where the opportunities are relatively scarce, and we bring those people here and they make a real positive contribution. And they're really glad to be here and they want to make a life here.
Does the visa have potential to get Aotearoa New Zealand out of its recession?
The Active Investor Plus visa is not going to lift New Zealand out of recession. The kinds of money that it's going to bring into the country are relatively slight. Under the Labour regime, which was much more stringent, very little money came in, very few people qualified. Under the new coalition government regulations, there will be more applicants, more people will be coming in, more money will arrive here, but we really just don't know where it goes after that. If they park their money here for 3 years, for 5 years or for 10 years, they gain their 2 years residency, we don't know where they go next. We don't know where their money goes next. Yes, there will be some money flowing in. It will not be in the kind of quantities that make a material difference to the economy, but more importantly, it's not necessarily coming in with the non-financial assets, the skills, the experience, the technologies, the intellectual properties. It's not necessarily coming in with any of that stuff. And as a result, the long-term benefit for New Zealand is likely to be relatively slight.
And that was Dr. Brent Burmester, Senior Lecturer at the University of Auckland's Department of Management and International Business, speaking to us about the issues with the government's recent changes to the Active Investor Plus visa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.